Exodus chapter 8 today. Exodus chapter 8. And I want you to understand what is fixing to take place, or what is taking place right here. This is a time when Moses is going to Pharaoh and saying, "Let my people go." And he's already met with Pharaoh at this time. And he's already cast his serpent down, or cast his rod down, and he's turned into a serpent. And all the other magicians, they done that, and all their rods turned in, the serpents also. But then Aaron's rod went over and ate them all up. I kind of wonder what they thought about that when that happened. And then the plagues began to set in at this point, when he would say, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh would harden his heart. He would say, "No, I'm not going to let them go." And in chapter 7, God had turned the river unto blood. And you can find that right here in verse 24 of chapter 7. "And all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after that the Lord had smitten the river." And so what we're going to find is a time now when the frogs are fixing to come. So I ask you to stand to your feet, and that to reverence the reading of God's Word. But it's good to see you today, and I'm so glad that you're here in God's house. But I pray the Lord will give you something from the Word of God, and give you some encouragement, but give you some direction of what you need to do. And if you're lost today, you can come and get saved and know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. Exodus chapter 8, begin to read in verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, Now go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me." You cannot serve God living in Egypt. You can't do it. You're going to have to separate yourself and that from the world. "And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into thy house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thine eating troughs. And the frogs shall come upon both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, Stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt." Now let me park right here real quick and say that Pharaoh was warned of what was going to happen. He was told what was going to happen if he did not let God's people go. In verse 7, and the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. I never understood that verse right there. They were just proving that they could bring frogs. But the problem was they needed them frogs to go away, not bring more. And so they've got more and more frogs. And so in verse 8, the Bible said, "And then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, and they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me, when shall I entreat for thee? And for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee in thy houses, that they may remain in the river only. And he said, Tomorrow. And he said, Be it according to thy word, and thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God." Amen. That is for sure. "And the frogs shall depart from thee and from thy houses and from thy servants and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields, and they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank." Now notice right here that they didn't go away, they died out. There was no new frogs coming in, but they just didn't hop away, they just died where they were. And they piled them up. And man, can you imagine the stench of all these dead frogs in the land of Egypt? Well, look in verse 15. "But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said." You can be seated this morning. Lord, we certainly need your help now. We pray that you'd come by and stir hearts while we might preach. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us direction with the Word of God. And I pray if there's somebody lost, you'd save them. I pray that if there's somebody needs to draw close, they'd come and draw close. But Lord, we just really need your direction and need your help and need a touch from the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you'd give us unction from the Holy One and touch us from heaven. And we'll tell you again that we love you. Lord, let us preach with plainness. And Lord, I pray that you would just deal with folks' hearts today. Lord, for those here that might be suffering, I pray you might touch them. And we'll give you the glory for it all. Save that sinner's nearest tale for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And most of us, if you spend any time in Sunday school, you understand what's going on right here. God has sent Moses down there to deliver the children of Israel and that from Pharaoh and from the land of Egypt. And by the time we get to the end of the 10 plagues, you have to understand what's took place. I mean, they've had frogs, they've had lice, they've had the rain come up on the cattle and the animals. In other words, they've had diseases. They've had hail and fire fall from heaven. They have had just all kinds. I believe the locusts come in at one time and ate up everything. The hail destroyed everything. The rain killed everything. And here's what the Bible said in Exodus chapter 10. And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Talking about Moses. Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? Every time that he would get a little rest on something, between those plagues, he would harden his heart, and God would send something else. There's a lot of people like that today. God's trying to get some people's attention. I believe he's trying to get our nation's attention. I believe he's been trying to do it for years and decades. He's been trying to not only get our nation's attention, but he's trying to be getting the church's attention that, hey, you need to follow me. Amen. And I believe he's been wanting to do that. And by the time you get to Exodus chapter 12, not only in Exodus chapter 10 is Egypt destroyed, but in Exodus chapter 12, you find the death of the firstborn. And by Exodus chapter 14, as they cross across the Red Sea, and God closes it up on the Egyptian army and drowns them, he has basically destroyed Egypt. And God's done it in just a matter of days, that has took a flourishing nation and has destroyed it just in a matter of days, all because of leaders that would not listen and hearken unto God. I'm very familiar today, ain't it? Amen? I'm just not talking about the one we have now. I'm talking about down through time. I wish folk would listen to God. But that ain't what I want to preach on. I want to look in verse 15, even though it preached real good today. I want to look in verse 15 at what the Bible said here. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite or respite. Ever how you want to pronounce that? It actually pronounces both ways. But when he seen that there was respite, now do you know what that one little word right there means? A pause or an interval of rest or a delay or a putting off of what was appointed. What has happened right here? Moses has said, Pharaoh said, God is going to send frogs. And if you don't let my people go, they're going to come. He's already seen what Moses can do with that rod. He's already seen that the River Nile's been turned into blood. And now the frogs are coming. And he says, after they come and they're everywhere. Can you imagine frogs being everywhere? I mean, this just ain't like a little toad frog every now and again. This thing was in their bed, their bedrooms, in their houses. If they opened their oven up, they looked in there, there was a slew of them in there. Everywhere they went, and everything they done, here's these old wretched frogs every time they turned around. That would get old pretty fast, wouldn't it? Reckon they were croaking. I mean, every time you turn around, they couldn't sleep. Nightfall came, and man, they're sitting like a bruh, bruh, bruh. I mean, we've all heard them old croaking bullfrogs. I mean, if you've ever been around any time at all, you've heard. Hey, can you imagine just, not only just them being there, but the racket that they were making. And they were everywhere you turn, they's in the bed with you. You turn down your bed, there they are. Man, that would get tiresome pretty fast, wouldn't it? And so what happens? You know, it's kind of like sin, ain't it?
When folk are living in sin and they're around sin, it's just like every time you turn around, there it is. And every time it's just a heartache to you. That's the way it is with saved people who are away from God. They just can't get away from that thing. But notice I hear, but when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he was going to get away. Well, what had happened? God had quit bringing in frogs. But these old dead frogs, they're still laying around. They're still there, and he can smell them, and he knows they're there, and he can see the heaps of them, but they're not in his bed anymore. They're not in the ovens anymore, and they're not bothering him anymore like they were. So he's kind of getting away from it. I want to preach this morning on simply just getting away. There was a fellow who told me one time, he said, God would bother me about some things when I would go to church. He never bothered me through the week, but when I'd go to church, that's when God would bother me with things. You know, I'm determined that's why a lot of people don't come to church. You get in here and you get along, and boy, God's Word gets read, and these old songs of Zion get sung, and the Holy Spirit of God begins to work. I begin to move, and you can't get away from Him. And so three things I want to look at right here with this time of respite or this time of getting away or a pause or a delay. First of all, number one, a lot of people, they find respite during conviction. A lot of people, when they get under conviction to get saved, all they want to do is get away from church or get away from the person, whether it's the preacher or somebody witnessing to them, or maybe a message on the radio. All they want to do is get away from that feeling that is bothering them. I remember listening to Brother Ricker testify about when God was dealing with him about salvation. I remember him talking about when he got out of church as fast as he could and went out there to the cemetery and cried and got his vehicle and left. He just wanted to get away. He wanted some respite. He wanted to have an interval of peace. Acts chapter 24 talks about when Paul stood before Felix and said, as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled. I believe Felix was under conviction. I mean, Paul's over here preaching to him about righteousness and temperance and judgment. I mean, man, he's laying it out. I no doubt he's told him about Jesus and who Jesus is and what righteous living is. And the life that he was living was not going to save him, but only in Christ. And he said, Felix trembled and answered and said, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You ever watch folk in church before? I've watched folk standing from where I'm at. And you know, we call them pew grabbers. And you watch people hold on to the back of pews sometimes. And all they're waiting on is for that last amen to be said so that they can get out that back door and get away and find a time of respite that they might find some rest from what's bothering. Pharaoh has found a time of respite. If I can just get away from this thing. You know, that's really all he wanted. He was telling Moses, he said, I'll let them go. But I believe in his mind and in his heart, he knew that if I could just get a little respite, a little peace, or a little just a time, I'm going to change my mind. People that get sin in their life that are saved, they're that way also. Man, if they could just get away from the conviction of God, they don't like Bible preaching, they don't like Spirit-filled singing, they don't like being around God's people. Why? Because it bothers them. You ever not been living right or living exactly the way you should and you get around somebody that is? Man, it bothers me when I get like that. Get a little hard-hearted towards some things. And you get around some people that love God. And then all they want to do is talk about God and how good He's been. For the blessings that He's given. Man, it begins to bother you. And you want to get away from them. Why? It's bothering you. One of the best things to do would just been to get right. He was looking for some respite. He wanted some rest from that thing. What about in our service to
to God. God's bothering you maybe to do something. You need to do it. Conviction, folk want to get away from it. I'm glad conviction's still real. You can't bring it on yourself. We can't manufacture it. We can't work up conviction. I mean, listen, we praise. Yes, we do. We sing praises unto Him. We praise Him with our mouth. We worship from our heart. But I'm going to be honest with you, church, we cannot manufacture conviction. If God does not work in somebody's heart, if God does not affect somebody's heart, then it ain't going to be no good. But all He wanted was some respite. He said, but when He saw that there was respite, I'm determined that's why some people ain't in church this morning. They don't want to be bothered about what they're doing, about what their family's doing. I mean, you know, it takes so much. I mean, I'll be honest with you, if I was doing wrong, and I wasn't serving God the way that I needed to, I wouldn't want to come to church either. I wouldn't want to hear no loudmouth preacher. I wouldn't want to hear the choir get up and sing. I just wouldn't want to do it. It would bother me. But as long as I could have a little respite and be able to get away from things. And so that's what He wanted to do. If I could just get away from it. And folk do that with conviction. Folk do that with vows that they have made. Let me ask you something this morning. Have you ever got into a place out of maybe a time of trouble and you begin to make promises to God? Maybe a young one gets sick. Maybe a young one gets deathly sick. Maybe your spouse gets sick. Maybe somebody's severe. And boy, you don't want them to die. And you begin to start making deals with God and bargaining with God. Take the Bible and go to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. The Bible tells us something about making vows. If you can find the book of Proverbs, you can find the book of Ecclesiastes. Find the book of Song of Solomon back up one. But Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And he's talking about a vow, making vows right here. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And look in verse 4. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For He hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? He says you're better off not to make a vow. You're better off not to make that promise to do something than to make it and not do it and that to God. Maybe your child's been sick. I don't know. Maybe you're up against hard times. But Lord, if you would supply right here, I'd deliver right here, I would do this. God, if you'll, I'm gonna be honest with you. You better be careful when you start making promises and that to God. For one, He's probably gonna make you want to keep that. And two, friend, you may be lining yourself up for something that you wish you hadn't have done. You know, is it in the book of Deuteronomy? I believe it is. When thou vowest a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require of thee. I mean, you say, God, this is what I'll do, and then you don't go do it. But listen, He said, and it shall be a sin in thee. But if thou forbear to vow, it shall be no sin unto thee. What's that mean for vow? If you don't vow anything, and you don't do anything, then it's no sin. What are you talking about right here, finding a time of respite? You know what I've found, and even in my life, yeah, I'll be honest with you, I've told God I'd do some things over the years. Lord, if you'll move right here, if you'll do this, then I'll make sure to go do this right here. You better be careful with that. I'm just being honest with you. But you know what people do, and what I've even found myself being guilty of over the years, is that when God moves and we get a little further away from that thing, and everything's looking good, your child's healed, your spouse is better, your family's better, whatever that hard time was, has come to pass and got fixed, and all of a sudden, we get a little respite between that bad time and where we are now. And so you know what we do? We don't do what we're supposed to do. As a matter of fact, I'm getting ahead of myself right here. But what did Pharaoh do? What's the Bible tell us Pharaoh done? When he found that he had respite, what did he do? He hardened his heart, didn't he? He hardened his heart. You know, that's why Brother Ralph said what he said, why he was preaching revival. He said, if you don't do something about it right now, why God is dealing with you about it in revival, he said, and you go home, you'll probably not deal with it. A lot of truth to that, ain't there? God moves and we get away from that time that is impressing on us when we have worry and anxiety and all these things I'm talking about. We just get away from it but we've told God we'd do this. I'm telling you, He don't forget. Deuteronomy said, the Lord will surely require it of thee and it would be sin in thee. There's still some things I'm going to have to go do because I promised God I would. I've still got them. I'm going to have to deal with them. It's amazing how that when you start thinking about that stuff, that God just kind of reminds you, didn't you say you'd do this right here? Now, I don't know if you're like me, but you know, God kind of reminds me about some things from time to time. But God moves and we get away from that time. And in Exodus chapter 8, He hardened His heart and would not hearken. When God impresses us to move, what do you mean to move? Maybe it is to witness to somebody. Maybe it is to tell somebody about Him. You know, that's the best time to witness when, you know, there's one thing for me to take a handful of tracks and go out to the Walmart parking lot or go into the Walmart and begin to hand out tracks. There's one thing to do that. But there's another time when God speaks to your heart and says, hey, you need to go talk to such and such. Hey, you need to go tell them about me. And listen, He's got a reason for what He's doing. You say, well, Lord, I'll put it off and I'll go do it the next time. The next time I see them, I'll say something to them. And what we're looking for, and I'm just telling you how I am. I don't know about you, but here's how my mind works. If I can just get a little time and get away from them and get a little respite, that won't bother me anymore. But then the next time rolls around. And let me say this, if we're going to keep our word, then the next time comes around, then we're going to have to go do what we told God we'd do. And you know, the next time that it rolls around, you know, it may have been easier to talk to them the first time if we'd have just done it that way. If God impresses you to maybe give a little here, give a little there, a little extra here and a little extra there, that to the work or to give to somebody that needs. And by the way, there's a whole lot to deal with the poor in the Bible. When I look at every one of us, I ain't going to say that we're all rich, but I'm going to tell you there ain't none of us starving to death. God's blessed me more than what I can ever imagine. He's been so, boy, every one of us sort of shouted right there. I mean, He's been good to you, church, and He's been good to me and blessed me beyond whatever I could imagine. But sometimes we get separated from that stuff and we get a time of respite. We get a pause or a delay and God kind of leaves us alone. Why God? Why don't God bother us? You know what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit? It says that we can quench the Holy Spirit and we can grieve the Holy Spirit. That's what it says. You know, he offends very easily. He really does. That's why I don't take much, you know, in the middle of a service. You know, I've been in a service before and even here and he'd be moving good and things would get kind of sideways. And I'd be telling the Lord, Lord, don't let this make the Holy Spirit go away in moving with people. There's that old song that we sing sometimes. You know, it talks about when he's dealing with others, you know, pass me not. Oh, gentle Savior, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Listen, if he's dealing with others, people, I want him to deal with me too. I'll be honest with you, if there's something wrong inside of me, I want him to deal with me. But a lot of times what we're trying to do is figure out how to get a time of respite and get away. And I hope that's not true today. We shouldn't want to get away from him. But notice what it says right here in verse 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearken not unto them. So what's he do in a time of that respite? He hardened his heart. So now it's harder than what it was before. He has seen Moses' rod turn, Aaron and Moses' rod
turn into a serpent. He has seen the river Nile turn unto blood. He has seen all them frogs come upon his whole country. And by the way, none of this is going on in Goshen where Israel lives at. Now this is affecting God's people. This is only affecting Egypt. And he's seeing all this and he knows what's going to happen. But what does he do? He hardens his heart. And so the next time when Moses comes, his heart's just a little harder toward that thing. You know what happens when we get in a time of respite and God did, and I've seen it in my own life. I'm telling you some things about me, friend, that the more we put something off and the more we get ourselves further apart from those situations, the harder our heart will get toward that stuff. So that's what he's done. He's hardened his heart. And so then the Bible says he hearkened not unto them. So he's not listening. You know, when you've got a hard heart towards something, when you've told God no, or you have looked for that time of respite and you've separated, some of you can think back where God has dealt with you about some things and you've got away from it, and you've said, well, maybe later, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next month, next year, at a later time, I'll do this. And we just harden our heart towards some stuff. And so Pharaoh. So when Moses comes back and he says, I'm going to bring lice to come upon them. And these magicians could not do what they could before. Because if you look just a few verses later, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, now see, he's not done. Pharaoh's not done what he said he'd do. Say unto Aaron, stretch forth thy rod, smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched forth out his hand with the rod and smote the dust of the earth. And it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Man, could you imagine every speck of dust becoming a lice in the land? Man, you're talking about miserable. I mean, they got stinking frogs out there. A river that's turned to blood with no fish in it. Ain't got nothing to drink. And now because of his hardened heart, lice has eaten up the land. It's going to be miserable. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice that they could, but they could not. So there were lice upon man, upon beast. Now watch this right here, verse 19. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. His own people, his own trusted people are saying, God's doing this right here, Pharaoh. But notice what your Bible says. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Even his own people are telling him, this is God causing this to happen to us and happen to you. And you're not listening, but he hardens his heart even more. You know, sometimes the Lord uses the strangest ways and the strangest people to get our attention sometimes. Don't he? Sometimes Scripture ends up somewhere that we wouldn't imagine to find it at. But somehow God gets our attention with it. Somehow maybe a testimony of somebody, but nonetheless, I found this very strange that these magicians are now saying this is the finger of God. So if we're not careful, we'll find a time of respite. And we'll get away from something that God is wanting us to do or requiring out of us. And we might have made promises to do something. We might have told God we'd do it. We might have said, Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do this. You know, I kind of think about Hannah and 1 Samuel. You know, she told the Lord, said, Lord, if you'll give me a man child, said, I'll give him to you all the days of his life. And there'll not be a razor come upon his head. You know what Hannah done? She kept her word. She kept her vow. You know what Gideon done when he laid that fleece out there and he was trying God and his faith was weak and all those things. But finally he was headed toward following God and God was showing him what he wanted to do. What he wanted him to do. And he done what God wanted. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when we get a little separation, maybe from the time when God, you remember years ago me telling you that we got to be careful what we do when we go out on the front porch of the church? That we'll leave out of here, and if we're not careful, we'll go out there and we'll start talking about where we're going to go eat. We'll start talking about football or baseball or hunting or and fishing and all that. And there's nothing wrong with talking about any of those things. But when people get out that back door back there, a lot of times all they want to do is just get away from what they just heard or the conviction that they've been under, the promises that they've made. They want to harden their heart and get away just as fast as they can. And as soon as we go out there and we start talking about those things, then it begins to wane away and it begins to harden and crest up that heart, which if they would just give in, if you just give in, if I just give in sometime and just let God have His way. But He wanted a time of respite. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Let me say this. God will not make you do anything. God would not make Pharaoh get right. God would not make Pharaoh turn his people. I mean, he could have went in there and struck Pharaoh dead. I mean, he could have just killed him right at the start. Dead as a hammer. And man, it would have rolled on and I bet they'd have got gone. Moses could have come in there and said, we're going to call fire down from heaven and eat this place up. But that ain't what God wanted to do. You know, by the time it's all said and done, Egypt was destroyed. All because he kept hardening his heart. Don't find a time of respite and harden your heart toward the things of God. Let's bow our head this morning if we would.